Sehr geehrte Fahrgäste, willkommen im Salzburg Hauptbahnhof. Ihre nächsten Reisemöglichkeiten.
Termitinitus, es pfeift.
Termitinitus.org.
Well, I say that's alright.
Maybe you can give us a picture of what's happening now in Greece. We have like more than 50,000 refugees waiting to continue to Europe, to a safe country.
Okay, comparing to last summer, we have the exact opposite situation. Last summer, for example, 100,000 of refugees were crossing Greece and were taking the Balkan route to go to Northern Europe. So gradually all the borders are closed and refugees are stuck in the mainland of Greece and in the islands. So it's a huge number comparing to the capacities of the Greek state. These people have to face the difficulties that they will be stuck, unfortunately, in Greece. The only way to exit Greece legally is if they can manage to be relocated to another EU member state, or if they have strong family ties with another member state and they manage to be reunified with their families with the Dublin regulation. But for the new arrivals in the islands, after the 20th of March, the situation is completely different because these people are under accelerated procedures in order to be sent back to Turkey. Even people that are refugees, for example, Syrian. This is because of the EU common statement with the Turkish government. Actually, it's not only EU, it's a statement made by the heads of the governments of the EU member states. This is not an official body of the European Union to make international agreements, so it's just an agreement between political makers, head of governments actually. And they decided to push the influx of refugees in the territory of Turkey. The reality is that since the capacities are not even existing, as we said, this 50,000 plus refugees are, in the beginning they were trying to make the route, they were crossing the islands, then they were coming to the mainland and they were going to the north to cross through Macedonia and go to the northern Europe. So there have been created many self-organized camps where the people were living, and help was provided to them by a group of solidarity people and volunteers who were expressing practical solidarity to the refugees coming from all over Europe. It has to be mentioned that it was a huge, huge, huge movement, and it still is, of people that are trying to show explicitly that they stand by the refugees who try to cross all these countries and travel to save their lives. The government, in the beginning, it was completely absent, didn't exist since last summer, and everything was dealt by these capacities of the volunteers, and this is amazing. As an example, I mean, it's really something that we should really see more closely, what is are the possibilities of the movements sometimes, if they really have particular scopes and they know how to do it. Unfortunately, gradually the government took more and more responsibilities, and I say unfortunately because they didn't do it well. For example, for the reception of the refugees, they opened previous abandoned camps of the army without any proper infrastructure inside, and they host the people in situations that it's not even for animals, unfortunately. This is how they characterize it in the majority of them. Maybe some fulfill the minimum things, that you live in a tent and water does not come inside. But others, they are full with water from the rain. Drinkable water doesn't exist. They are full of snakes. A horrible situation. So it's another idea, a postmodern concept of the camp and the lager, like we used to say. And these people, I think, my estimation is that they will stuck in Greece for a long of time.
Hi.
Hi. I was late.
It's okay. Oh, look, I speak, I give an interview, but you can join also. It's a common field. about the refugee situation. She was last Sunday in Ricciona, a camp. So Maria can give us in Evia, nearby Chalkida. So she can give us a very concrete idea how it was there.
It was in the middle of nowhere. There is only one bus once a week to take these people to the nearest kind of urban center, which is Chalkida. When I went there, there was nobody around, like nobody was in charge or anything. Everybody could come and go, but it's an open center, but they can't really go anywhere because it's too far from everything.
Mm-hmm.
And these people don't have any means. I don't know what happens if somebody needs to go to hospital, for example. There are lots of people hosted there. Most of them are Syrians and Iraqis. Like 90% or more. Very poor, very in a bad psychological situation because they have to face the fact that the borders are closed and they're trapped in Greece and in Ricciona. And I can't really see the point of taking all these people so far away, like in the middle of nowhere.
But Maria, where do they live?
Tents.
How many people in the tents? I mean, a family is sharing a tent with others?
Yes.
Big tents, the big one, the UNHCR tents, these ones.
Or I think it was a UNHCR tents, but there was no UNHCR stamp on them.
Water they have? Sanitary conditions?
They have some chemical toilets. They have some water, some NGOs bring them, I think. But the people, some solidarity movement people that go there often and see these guys, they said, for example, that there was no milk the previous week for the babies, and there are lots of babies. They
vacuum
have nothing, they don't even have internet connection. So they were like, we can't seek asylum. You know that the Greek asylum service has launched a system where you only can apply for asylum via Skype, which is not working anyway. But these guys were like, we don't have internet. How are we going to get there? They have to apply for asylum.
And they can't. And in the official place of the government?
I tried to comfort them a little bit, telling them that nobody else can anyway. But it was not much comfort to them. Some of them were delirious, and their only way now to legally try to exit Greece is via the asylum system, because the Dublin procedure, family reunification, and the relocation procedure passes through.
So you have to apply. So for them, if you stay in this camp, let's say, you don't have chances to apply.
Not really.
So you stay there endless.
No.
So this is the situation. But you are free. This is the what we said before.
This
Maria camps. The difference with this kind of camps, it's very illustrative the way Maria experienced this, and the previous camps, is that the previous were closed detention facilities. Here, you are not supposed to have any restriction of movement. You are free. But in reality, you are more trapped than anything else. So in the previous concept of lagers of the previous government, the concept was, I close you, I put you in a room, I will keep you inside there, and I will try to terminate you as personality. I mean, this was the concept, because I will show that I don't want arrivals here. I detain them and I will deport them. So this model of the past 10 years was completely unsuccessful. And this was clear because when it was the big influx of Syrian refugees, they couldn't do anything. The policy stopped of detaining people, not only because of the new government of Syria that changed this, because it was impossible to put in the detention facilities that existed before.
But it starts again.
It starts
because,
again.
Because with the new law, there are two kind of asylum procedures. One for the mainland, like Ricciona, and one for the borders, the islands. And there you're detained.
In the hotspot.
Unofficially, I know. Yesterday I spoke with Samos. Because they couldn't fit them and they didn't have personnel to keep them. They opened the doors. But officially, it's like Maria says, this is closed detention facility. And before 1 week, these people were detained. Because we represent one Syrian family.
And plus, they don't give them when they apply for asylum, even if they set them free from the hotspot, they don't give them an asylum seeker card. They just give them a white paper saying that they are in the procedure of asylum, the border asylum procedure,
mm-hmm.
and that they can't leave the island.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that in the islands you have another special regime, and in the mainland you have the trapped people.
And this is the epitome of not logical, because
yes.
as Yoda said, in the past it has not worked, and now they do it, and they do it worse because they want to trap all these people on the island,
yes,
which is like this. I mean, the Greek islands are very
this
small.
Is not going to work, and for reasons of social reasons, the islands of Greece is a special case. I mean, you have to see to understand that we speak about very small communities, actually, territorial, on a territorial application, on people that live there. So it's not possible for this population there in this space, actually, to manage to host for a long period of time too many people. It's practically impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's for sure that there will be social tensions. Okay, so the reality is that the refugees in the mainland will stuck in this kind of nice camps. Even if they, I mean, if they apply for asylum somehow, if the solidarity people bring their Wi-Fi, whatever, and they can manage the Skype, they will continue living there, no? This is the plan for Ritsona, for example.
This is the plan.
And that means no school for the children,
nothing.
No services inside the camp.
It's full of children.
How can a so-called leftist government end up in this situation? In this totally horrific situation for the
It's
refugees?
Because...
I think that with the government, they didn't have a clear political aim in itself in the beginning. Maybe they had some humanitarian, for example, we respect the human life somehow, because it's true that during this government, they have stopped the systematic pushbacks that were happening in the sea. This is true. If there have happened some incidents, it was not systemic and not with order.
Mm.
Of before it was a clear order that the policy is to push back people even if they die, for example, because the way that it was done, people were dying. But the pushbacks continued all this time in the Evros region, for example. Okay, there was no clear aim how to deal with this, and in the end, I think that what happened is that for the Greek political issues, migration and asylum issues were never a part of the agenda, of the political agenda. It was only few people in the political, in the parliament, for example, that were dealing with these things, or the political parties. It was never a central political aim. It was part of a small minority of the movement, and that's it. And suddenly, the issue of refugees came on the same significant like the economic bargaining of the government. I mean, it took a huge... I mean, suddenly you saw Prime Minister himself speaking about the refugees and how to deal with this and try to bargain with the Europeans for first time. And they proved, this government, to be incapable of dealing on such a scale about this issue as well, I would add. I mean, this is for me is a big mistake of the government, the way they bargained for this. And I don't know if it is with the people they used or how they tried to do it, or because they are without any bargaining power right now and they had to take everything. But it's really sad also, if you just defeat and you take everything that they give you. Even the fact, for example, that Tsipras himself signed the common statement with EU and Turkey, it's very sad as well. Not only him, other heads of governments, because, for example, in other states also they were saying, this agreement is not good. Yes, but all the prime ministers signed it. So you can't say after on a governmental level, I don't like it, because you saw a message. Okay, it's not a binding instrument, but... okay, so these people will stuck here, and the problem is... now they want to make the pre-registration, the new... think that they will spend more money from the European Union to start a pre-registration process in the mainland, not in the islands. So, for example, this camp in Ritsona and all the other camps, delegations from EASO, the European Asylum Support Office, UNHCR, and the Greek Asylum Office will go there to register the people because they don't even know who it is. And this will be a pre-registration that will give you a paper that in the future you will manage to apply for asylum. So I say that this will be done years later. For me, it's a waste of money. And in a time that we really need money to build hosting facilities for people, they spend all this because it will cost billions, this pre-registration. The asylum service is working with personnel that has contracts of 5 months. So how you can run a state administration like that, when you have so many people?
And in general, the leitmotiv of the government on this subject, one of the leitmotivs is we don't have money to hire more civil servants. We are banned from the memorandum, so we can't hire more civil servants. And so how is this going to work with 100 civil servants for all these people.
So there are people coming, like experts coming from abroad, like from Germany?
EASO.
Is this really happening? Or?
Yes.
EASO experts.
But definitely they're not experts.
It's horrible.
I have seen papers. I have seen papers, how they judge, how they write, and it's...
They look like Texas Rangers. And they are 18 years old.
The problem is that, this support, let's say, from the European institution or other states, they can't do anything because they make deployments for 1 month. This person that will come will not help to register all these people, will not help to fix the reception conditions in Greece. I think that they take a political choice that we will sacrifice these people, we will let them stuck in the mud, in these camps, and we will let them there. And what will happen? I don't know what will happen.
I mean,
it doesn't need a lot of mind to understand what the effects will be.
We're going like everything that was gained with, especially with this government, like no detention, a license to be able to work for these asylum seekers, is being taken back because they're detained again, because with this pre-registration city paper they can't work.
So I think that the plan on a political level, on a European political level, accepted by the Greek government, was that until 20th of March, we will keep all the refugees in the mainland of Greece, stuck there. We will close the borders in the Balkan routes everywhere with support of all the states also, as well, to help the other states as well. There is a whole idea behind that. And we will play with the Turkish government to take the new arrivals back to Turkey. That means extraterritorial asylum policy of the European Union. Clearly, it means that we close the fortress Europe, we close it completely, and we will not allow the refugees to enter the mainland. And I think neither the EU statement will work. I think it will collapse alone by the politics of Turkey, how they will continue. I cannot accept personally that people are used as a ping-pong game for political reasons. Because, I mean, the lives of these Syrians that are going to be sent back, if they are sent back with this agreement, are not guaranteed at all. And this I cannot accept for a political arena of Erdogan and Merkel, for example.
And these are more or less people without rights, no?
In Turkey, the law is not sufficient enough to protect the Syrians. And in practice, what they do, we see the news, because nobody can make really independent monitoring in Turkey. They are banned to access detention centers and everything. So from the few things that are published, is that the Syrians are don't have anything, any right there to live, and they have always the fear that they can be refouled back to Syria.
But as well, people in Greece say that they would rather die to stay in Greece in these conditions.
The problem is that under these policies, the people will try to play every card they have to live illegally, with whatever cost. So that means that again, the ones that will benefit from them, from these are smuggling networks or I don't know what else. And it's horrible because the majority consists of women, children, elderly people, and these people are not so easy to move illegally, to cross borders illegally.
I think a strong card also behind all this, in this crowded arena of political and economic interests, I think in this crowded arena there is also the card of the smugglers and the mafia of the smugglers, which are making a great deal of money.
Already now the arrivals in Italy have increased, because as they close the Greek borders, they open and the people try to go to Italy. To arrive to Italy, you need bigger boats. That means that we will have more shipwrecks in the sea, because not a lot of people can afford to have these nice luxury boats that can make this traveling. More deaths in the waters, more smuggling, exploitation. Okay, the islands, that just to say for the islands how it is. The islands, for the moment, they play that what they want to create is that they will make accelerated procedures. Mostly the people will be detained. It's another issue practically that they open the doors because they can't detain them. So the asylum seekers, if they manage to arrive to Greece, because we forgot the NATO boats also.
Yes, we'll speak about it.
Yes. They apply for asylum if they manage also, because it's very inefficient as well, their services also. They stay detained.
The law says 25 days, and if they don't manage to examine their asylum claim within the 25 days, they stay with the city paper that I told you about, which confines them
It's a restriction of freedom, not of liberty, of movement.
Of movement. They say you have to stay on the island, and it's not even an asylum card, because with an asylum card you can go to the hospital, you can work. No, it's...
So if you are a refugee, you arrive in Chios, for example, you apply for asylum, 25 days, no way to even register your asylum. So you take this paper and you are out. And what you do, you exist in the island.
Yes.
Just to say how difficult it is, you cannot even get money, because you cannot go to the bank and say, I want to open a bank account so that my family will send me money. You cannot do anything legally, because you don't have any, you cannot work, you cannot have access to anything.
You can only do things like this.
It's horrible, Western, I mean, how it will go. So these people will be, in the end, either exploited by the locals in a black labor market, either we will have a very big increase of neo-Nazi movements in this island.
We will have anyway, not either, I think.
Yes, both implications, it's clear. Or we will have a small criminality. I'm hungry, I steal the bread to eat. I mean, it's normal. In the islands also, the people are detained all together, women with men. So it's unbelievable what is happening there. And this is something that should be strictly condemned. Because if they can't keep the people, at least let them out. I mean, this is always what I say. The state cannot. Okay, open the doors and let them out. But let them live.
Do they have any legal support?
No, for the moment there are very few lawyers. There is
on the island it's very difficult.
Some NGOs are trying to send four people. In Lesbos that they operate. In Samos is two, and in Chios is one, two. And this for all the thousands of people that are there? Of course not. And when we speak about legal aid, we mean that you need to have sufficient lawyers, you need to have sufficient interpreters as well, because without an interpreter, the lawyer cannot do anything. You need to have possibilities how to challenge in the courts to bring legal actions. And this is not verified how you can do it pro bono without paying money or without taking money from the refugee himself or herself. So these things are not operating. And this is against the European Union directive for the procedures of asylum applications, because it is foreseen that there will be legal aid for a second instance in the asylum process. And this until now doesn't work in Greece.
Yes, you can't just go in to the appeals committee and say, I don't have a lawyer, assign me a lawyer. This is not possible. Mm-hmm. On paper, the state has obligation to do this. But if you appear to the asylum committee and just say this, the maximum they can do is to give you an adjournment. And most of them don't do. They just examine him.
And the funny thing is that for me this is completely ridiculous, because you have this situation in the islands, and at the same time, there are 10 people working for UNHCR, and they just provide legal information to everybody. For example, that means, according to the Geneva Convention, you have the right to apply for asylum, you have the right to go for relocation, you have the right to family reunification, without supporting legally these people. They just provide this information that are purely on paper, and they have 10 people on every island to do that. So you see how the money is spent.
Not only UNHCR, most NGOs that take money to do legal aid process, what they do in fact is legal information. The lawyer goes to the people and says general information, and they don't take up cases, which is ridiculous. I totally agree.
And this is money that they are given to UNHCR directly from the European Commission also. They take out the Greek government, and they do well, because they say, okay, they will not deal well with the money. They give it to UNHCR, but this is how, in the end, this money is spent. And it's completely ridiculous for me, because we speak about, I don't know, with this money you could
There is no legal information.
And provide legal support.
If you don't take up the case, you don't do nothing.
They don't want this, because if they had real legal support to these people, already these practices and the state practices, they would have been condemned by the European Court of Justice, you would have court decisions against this, they wouldn't be able to implement anything. You would have penal accusations against police or everybody else who makes violations in the camps and everything, because this is what it means, I need a lawyer. Because in the asylum processes we forget the basic rights. Okay, so they don't want this, because it's the EU policy right now to have these people like that in Greece without any right. For example, there are special obligations, like Maria said, to provide, for example, legal aid, to provide proper reception facilities, not this bullshit, the tents or anything else. All this, if you go to court, you will have a case, you will win the case.
Problem is that easily. The courts are slow.
The problem is that the courts are slow.
Extremely slow.
Extremely slow, but on the same hand, you can go even to the European Court of Human Rights. You can do a lot of legal work. Of course, it will be time consumption and all this, all things like that, but then you block this practice that they follow. They can continue.
You can block some practices. You can block deportation or detention if there are grounds for interim measures. But for example, for somebody who's already been detained illegally, for example, for such a person, if he sues the state for money, for example, for
compensation,
the damage he had had, this is going to take 10 years.
But on the same time, for example, for one family that they were detained in Lesbos because they entered Greece 19 of March and they applied to them the EU Turkey deal. So they applied for asylum. The asylum application was found inadmissible and they made an appeal. So we represented them in the appeal process and before the committees. It's one of the decisions they don't give. This was the first case that was examined in the appeals committees. So for this family, we appealed, we made an urgent call to the United Nations Working Group for Arbitrary Detention. There are some international mechanisms somehow that you can go. And after this call, maybe it was parallel because of the lack of capacities, but they opened the doors in the islands. It's no longer a detention center. I don't know what kind of pressure was happening, or possibly, or maybe it was just by luck that they couldn't continue, or they saw that something internationally came here, human rights based, to see what's happening. And it's always important. I don't believe that you will find your right by using legal actions, but at least you show that you have some weapons for the current regime, and they take you more seriously after. You will never find your right like that, but it's more important to use them to change the situation. And the other thing that the government did for me, and it's purely unacceptable also, is that 1 year now, we said before that people expressing solidarity were doing all that the state does not do, and now suddenly the last month we see that they penalize the solidarity of the people they arrest the people that are operating in solidarity groups and things like that because they don't want these people because it's independent eyes. And the more that you have the self-organized people inside, it's like they see what are the rest of the people doing. And this is something unacceptable. I mean, they don't even have food for the people. The people were making the food and now they arrest these people. This doesn't make any sense and it's a clear political choice. Okay, the same changes are happening everywhere. I mean, I was speaking with a colleague in Germany and she was furious because in Germany they change the laws every day. They have a new thing. They don't know what is happening. I mean, if we see it, I want to say that it's not a Greek state problem or... I mean, these are political implications and evolutions on the bad way of the states that we will experience the next years all over around Europe. It will become more and more conservative on a way that we will have a clear identification that we don't care about lives. In Greece, the problem was traditionally that the refugees, even if they get the recognition, they don't have a social state support. But this is for everybody, even for the Greeks. I mean, if you have a child here, you have no support from the state. If you were in Germany or Austria, I can imagine you would have a lot of support. This is the same for a refugee also. Mm-hmm. This is the same for the Greek citizens as well, you know. So I fully understand that the refugees, when they try the escape to save their lives, they want to go to a place where they can
live some more
safety. So I fully support that the refugees want to go to another place that they are more respected. So there will be a turn. All the states will start making more conservative policies, cutting rights, so that the refugees will not want to go there any longer. I think this is also short-eye policy as well. It will not work. Everything that it looks like the states are not thinking on a clever way. I was believing that the capitalistic model is more clever. Didn't prove clever with the refugee dealing. It reflects more fascistic characteristics rather than the capitalistic aspect of the states of Europe. And then you create a market also. It's the militarization of Europe. There is the capitalism inside, because all this means that they will have more surveillance, more border regime to control, they will give more support to institutions like Europol, Eurojust, Interpol, Azure will take another role, Frontex. All this will develop. The rights will be cancelled in the States, the social policy will be cancelled, but the security will grow.
Then
it matches with capitalism. So I'm wrong. Yes, it's not. It's the other way that how they will find it. So they play very clever. Yes, then they use the fascistic reflexes of the societies, that your nation is being threatened. You know, they go that, like that. How you will deal with so many foreigners? Your children, how they will manage in the school if the other classmates don't speak your language? You know, all this.
Have second class people, second class rights. Administrative detention. Only this. If you imagine that in Europe we have administrative detention,
yes.
this is the most indicative thing. You know, administrative detention means that. Πρόσχημα πως είναι.
Excuse.
Not even the pretexts are held. You know, nothing. You don't pretend anymore. You have administrative detention. Why?
Yeah.
Because you are foreigner.
So what do you think of the situation?
They are the victims. They will be the victims of the policies, unfortunately, and we have to speak like that openly, I think.
Yes, they're going to be fucked up. They're going to be B or C or D class people forever.
Okay, what has to be done in reality? I remember, for example, that the YPJ, the Kurdish controlled a part of Rojava in these areas, they were saying, before some months, to the Europeans, they were saying, give us support financially because we want to keep our people here, not to create refugees. And nobody supported them.
I mean, to see how
the policies are, because in the autonomous spaces of Syria, they don't want to keep the people. And the others, the refugees are leaving and we have a problem in our door. I want to say how it is a strictly political decision in the end. Eh? Okay, we don't want to support the autonomous. So that we will let them alone to manage. And these people there, they say, no, we try to fix something here. We want to stay here and protect our peoples of all the nationalities that we have and ethnicities and whatever. And we want to protect it. I want to support the refugee also, but I mean even the person who decides to stay there and fight and play everything, even give his life for their land and what they try to establish there, the West does not want to support this kind because they are afraid that this is not a good political example. I wanted to say before something about the Turkey paralog solution that the European Union member states are thinking. In Turkey right now, in the southeast provinces, there is an emergency situation. We have curfews imposed on people. We have hundreds of thousands displaced people, dead people by the army and police operations. And these are against Turkish nationals, okay? Because they want to make a new attack in the Kurdish minority in Turkey. So how the Europeans expect that, for example, Kurdish from Syria can survive in Turkey? That they cannot open the mouth. How, for example, you can survive in Turkey if you are from Syria and you take your position and you explain your position about the political and you say, for example, I support Assad. I support Hezbollah. You are dead if you do this in Turkey. I support the UPJ and the Kurdish autonomy. I support whatever. What will happen in Turkey legally is that they will consider you a terrorist and they will put you in prison using the wide-range effect of the anti-terror laws that they have. So how they think that there is sufficient protection for them? Not to mention stateless Palestinians, that they, because Syria was a multi-ethnicity. Maybe we have to mention that to the people. There are the majority used to be Alevis. Alevis are the minorities in Turkey that they are persecuted since now. They are Shias, that they have huge problem in Turkey as well. We have the Kurds that in Turkey they have problem. So, I mean, it's not easy to say the Syrians go back to Turkey. And we have huge camps that existing since always for Palestinians. What about this? That they are refugees five times. I mean, these are... and there is no... Nobody thought about these people.
Or they don't care.
They don't care. And the Iraqis. And they had many... They had, since the Iraqi wars, they had refugee camps... with Iraqis. So it's very complex. The best would be to try to establish a peace process somehow in Syria so that people who really want to go back without being pressed to go back, and the people who didn't decide to leave so far, to manage to save their lives, because there are still people living there also. But as long as they continue the implications that create the war in Syria, then they shouldn't cry for the numbers of millions of refugees that are arriving in Europe.
Termitinitus.org